Would you stand with me once again out of respect for God's holy word and turn again to our passage in Ephesians? Ephesians chapter 2, and going to be looking at verse 18 today, so we will read verses 18 and 19. For through Him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. Let us pray. Father, we thank You for the access that we have to You. We thank You that You did not leave us on our own. We thank You that when You created the world, indeed, 10 billion years before You created it, You knew that our greatest dilemma would be ourselves and our sin. And You made a way for us to come to You, all by grace, all out of Your mercy. Help us to drink in that mercy and grace today and understand the access that we have to God this morning. We ask for Jesus' glory. Amen. You may be seated. We have that door closed. The title of this morning's message is Access to God. And do you know, this morning we live in an age of unprecedented access. Everything the world has to offer is at our fingertips. Right here, right now, it's all yours. We have access to everything, more than any other time in the history of the world. Through television, you can access any sports arena in the world as if you're actually there. You can experience the Olympics in Korea or view a press conference from the darkest of Africa. Through the telephone, we have access to just about anybody on the planet. When Brother Kerr goes to Holland, it will be nothing for any one of us to pick up the phone and call him, though we might want to know what the time difference is. But we live in an age of amazing access. We have access to journey the world any time, any day. Through mass transportation, I can hop on a plane tonight and be in Barcelona tomorrow morning. We can travel to India, Holland, Africa, Spain, and be back in a few days. Today we have access. We have access to it all, whether you can afford it or not, with a credit card. A credit card grants us access. Don't worry, if you've been turned down, you'll have 5 more offers in the mail tomorrow. All this access feels like it's free. But it's not. 19% interest is way more than any one of us can afford. Why are so many so willing to pay so high a price for all of this access? Because access is important. Access connects us, doesn't it? People want immediate access to whatever their heart desires. You want a book? You want a car? You want a house? You don't even have to leave your house to buy a house. It's all available on eBay. It's all available at Amazon.com. We have access, unprecedented access, to everything. Think about the medical access that we have. We have access to the best medical advances in the history of the world. You can have a major surgery without scars today, or arthroscopic surgery. 100 years ago, it was unheard of for diabetics to live beyond a few years after diagnosis. Now we have tests for everything and specialist doctors for every ailment known to man. Today, through new medical advances, deaf people are getting their hearing back. Doctors are transplanting hearts. Access. Of course, we have access to the internet, don't we? You can look through the lens of the Hubble telescope on the internet, and you can see hundreds of thousands of light years from your backyard. Or on the same internet, you can look from a satellite view to your backyard or to your neighbor's backyard. We have satellite maps available through the internet of the entire globe. We have access to more information today than in the history of the world. Things that used to take days and weeks to find can now be accessed in a matter of seconds. We live in an age of unprecedented access. Everyone has a car. Turn 16, you've got access. A computer, there's no age limit for that. An iPod, a cell phone, from the time that they're little children, you see these little young ones walking around with their cell phones and their iPods, and even their laptops. We have never had more access, and yet as connected as we are to this world, we are missing the most important connection of all. Money can buy just about anything, but it cannot buy you a ticket to heaven. Money will not access heaven. You cannot buy access to God on the internet. People are so connected, but most of our connections are amazingly superficial. Let's assume that on average, a person will live 70 years old. Well, even if you live 70 or 80 years old, no matter how much information you can put into your head, no matter how many cell phones or laptops or iPods you have, all the access that you have and all the time that you have on this earth will one day come to an end. All access will be cut off. We are all part of the ultimate statistic. 10 out of 10 people die. And let's assume that on average a person dies at 70 years old. If you're 20 years old here today, you have just 2,500 weekends left to live. If you have turned 30, you have 2,000 weekends left until the day you die. If you're 40, you have 1,500. If you're 50, you have just 1,000 weekends. And if you're 60 years old, you have a mere 500 weekends left until the day of death comes. Now, I know Brother Fettgetter is sitting here going, I'm 80 years old. We'll call him Lazarus. But even if you defy the odds and live to 100, 110, our time is coming to an end. What does all of this earthly access gain us? We have access to so much. But what does it gain us? A more comfortable life? A soul that is entertained? Our culture is drunk with entertainment and activity. We have access to go anywhere and do anything, but what does all of this access gain us in the end? What we need to do is stop. We need to do as Psalm 48 and verse 10 says, be still and know that I am God. That's the only access that matters. With all the access we have, we're missing the ultimate access we need. You see, death is coming and death is ugly. Death is the result of sin. Every sickness, every heartache, every pain, every bout of depression is all a very small taste. It's a small taste of what is coming for you if you don't have access to God. A headache is nothing compared to the headache that you will have for all of eternity. The depression that you have suffered with from time to time. Oh, the cloud of darkness that will be yours for all of eternity. If you have no access to God, separation from God forever and ever. And if you're a believer here today, you should heed the words of George Atkins. He wrote the hymn, Brethren, We Have Met to Worship. He said in one of the verses, Brethren, see poor sinners round you, slumbering on the brink of woe. Death is coming, hell is moving. Can you bear to let them go? You see, we're all sinners on the brink of eternity, and our greatest need is that we would gain access to God. You see, all of our iPods and emails will do us no good on Judgment Day. No amount of plastic and radio waves will help us on that day. No amount of interesting facts will plead our case with God. All the journeys we've taken in this life, whether you've been to Spain or Holland, whether you've been to Africa or Brazil, all of your wonderful travels will mean absolutely nothing if you've not journeyed and walked with God. So the question I have for you this morning is this: are you connected to God? Do you have access to God this morning? Well, the first question you might ask is it possible? Is it even possible to have access to God? Oh, during the Dark Ages, people thought it was only possible for a select few. You had to become a priest or a monk. You had to do something amazing, perform a miracle, do some amazing feat. Friend, access to God is available for all. It's available for every creature. It is available. That's the good news. Go and preach the gospel, the good news to every creature. Access to God is possible. It is possible because our verse, our text this morning in verse 18, it says, through Christ, we both, whether you're a Jew, whether you're a Gentile, whether you're rich, whether you're poor, whether you're male, whether you're female, whether you have a good sense of humor, whether you are sour today, whatever state that you're in, through Christ, we both have access to God by one Spirit. We have access to the Father. Well, the second question you might ask is, why do we need access to God? I mean, why do we need access to God? What does God have that we don't have? And if you look through the eyes of this world, it would seem that we're at a time in life where the world can offer us almost anything. But the truth of the matter is, it's all a smokescreen. It's all a charade. Because no matter how much this world has to offer, it all comes to an end. Someone will own everything you have, just give it enough time. You will cease from owning everything. Everything you're working for, everything you're striving for, it's all going to belong to someone else when you die. Someone else will be wearing those clothes, or they'll be being eaten up in a garbage dump by worms, just like your body. It's all coming to an end. But why do we need access to God? Well, number one, God created us for Him and for access to Him. He created us for His glory. We were made. We did not make ourselves. Did any one of you create yourselves? Did you say, well, I think I need an eye. I think I'll form myself an eye. And I think I'll put my ears on. And you know what? I'd really like to talk, so I think I'll put my mouth on. Did any one of you here get here that way? Scientists can explain biology, but they cannot explain the miracle of life. Why is it all being sustained? Where does it come from? The answer, in the beginning, God. God created. God created you. And you see, you did not change your hair, or choose your hair. You might have changed it, but you didn't choose it. You didn't choose your parents or your medical, mental, and physical capacities. Every day, we are all walking around as human miracles. In every human cell in your body, think about this. There are 3 billion bits of DNA. In every human cell. That's how much information is packed in there. It's unseeable to the natural eye. DNA is the most basic blueprint of your body, the organized information of a cell, like an owner's manual for a car. And to give you an idea of how complex one cell is in your body. The DNA of just the nucleus of one human cell has enough information to fill up a 30-volume set of the Encyclopedia Britannica 40 times. If you stack these volumes up, they would reach 229 feet into the air. Now, that's in one cell. Do you know how many cells you have in your body? It's hard to estimate because no cell has stood still long enough to be counted. But the average person has about 50 trillion cells in the average human body. If a person were to read the information that is in the body, the human DNA, in one person, line upon line, beginning right now, nonstop, it would take him the next 100 years to complete the reading of all of this amazingly organized information about you. See, God created you. He knows the end from the beginning. He knows your good days and bad days before you even have them. And He controls everything. At any given moment, there are complex processes and cells working together in our bodies. And the simplest cell is so complex, it's like a little city. Everything in the body works together according to the blueprint. Now, none of this happened by chance, did it? Imagine I were to tell you that there was a great explosion in the street and out popped a red Humvee. Amazing. Would you believe that? I'm driving down the street and where did you get that? At which dealership? Where can I? Oh, you know what? You've got to put this chemical and this chemical together, set it on fire, and boom, it'll come out. Not going to happen. Not going to happen. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. God made us. That's where we have to begin if we want access to God. So why do we need access to Him? Because we were created by Him to love Him and serve Him. Secondly, because without access to God, we will be eternally separated from God. A person who does not have a relationship with God, this access to God will live that way forever and ever apart from the presence of God. Now, who wants to live apart from God forever? Who wants to live in sure misery forever? I guarantee if you did a poll, you would have a 100% response if there was honesty involved. No one wants to be separated from bliss forever. But it never ends, and yet no one is pleading to get into heaven. No man is seeking after God, Romans tells us. You don't have a line at the door right now. There is people right now have many other things to do rather than to seek God. But we need to have this access to God so that we can live forever with Him. And it is possible. So, why do we need access to God? Because we were created to serve and love Him. And if we don't have access to God, we will be eternally separated from Him forever. But secondly, what happened to our access to God? Why don't we have it anymore? Well, most people think that they automatically have that access. They don't realize that it has been taken away. Most people in this world have this idea that God is automatically in favor of them because they're a pretty good person. I mean, even a prostitute can find another prostitute that is worse than her. You see, people believe that they have access to God because they pray before they go to bed at night, or because they go to church, or because they have religious thoughts from time to time. Perhaps you think that you're a good person here this morning. I mean, after all, you've never murdered anybody or robbed a bank. Can I tell you something? You don't have to be a bank robber to lose access to God. You see, any kind of sin, no matter what kind it is, will cut off all access to God. What if I told you that it takes only one sin to make you a bad person? James says if you've broken one point of the law, you're guilty of breaking the whole thing. And so only one sin is enough to make you a bad person. Think of Satan. You know that he is a fallen angel. He once was the most beautiful angel in all of heaven. He once was the leader of worship in heaven. And how did this beautiful angel become the devil? Did he murder? No. Did he lie? No. Did he sin so many times that God finally had a meeting with him and said, listen, all right, you really need to stop this. I'm going to give you three more chances. And after three chances, he kicked him out of heaven. Is that how it happened? No, Satan sinned only one time to be cast out of heaven. Jesus said, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Luke 10:18. Satan simply, this was his sin. He had a proud spirit. He said he wanted to be like the Most High. Satan, for a moment, just for a moment, was full of himself. And now he is the devil. Now, before you get too upset about God sending you to hell for your sin, before you get too upset about that, are you upset that the devil is going to hell? I don't think anybody on the planet is upset about that. But you're worse than the devil. Because the devil was never given the opportunity to receive the blood sacrifice of God's only begotten Son. And yet we receive the opportunity every day of our lives. The gospel message is going into all the world, and we reject it, and we reject it, and we reject it. And to be guilty of the body and the blood of Jesus Christ is a much greater, greater sin. So, do you think if God casts Satan out of heaven for one sin, that it will be any different for you? It is no different. You see, one sin is too much sin for a righteous God. He is light, and in him is no darkness at all. God is of purer eyes than to behold evil, Habakkuk said. David said in Psalm 5:4 that the Lord is not a God that has pleasure in evil, and that he cannot dwell with iniquity. It's kind of like this. Here's a beautiful pie. What's your favorite pie, Miss Judy? Chocolate, right? French silk. It's just chocolate dressed up. Brother Kurt, what is your favorite pie?
Apple pie.
What if I were to say, here is your favorite pie. Isn't it beautiful? Doesn't it look great? Smell it. Doesn't it smell? Oh, smell the aroma. You getting hungry? There's just one little thing that I haven't told you. There's just one little, he's very little maggot. He doesn't eat much. Just one little maggot in that pie. One little one. He's really tiny. In fact, you really have to look close to see him. Can I ask you a question? Do you want to eat that pie? But it's only one little tiny maggot. Just one. Now, if you leave him there, he might breed some more, won't he? That's how we are. And by the way, you don't have just one little tiny sin in your life. Did you do any accounting this morning? Moral accounting in your life just this morning, just since the time you woke up? How selfish and proud and arrogant and ignorant of God we all are? Oh, if God should count iniquities, David said, who should stand? Friend, our access is cut off from God for a very, very very logical reason, and that is because God cannot have sin in His presence. He's a righteous, holy God. And He cannot even have one. Because just as one little tiny maggot defiles the whole pie, one little tiny sin defiles your whole life. It eternally separates you from God. You see, sin seems like it's free, doesn't it? We freely choose to sin. But it's not free. It costs you everything. It costs you all of eternity. So we are all separated from God. We have all lost our access. We are all born, as this very passage tells us, remember in verse 1, dead in trespasses and sins, walking according to the course of this world. The opposite of access is separation. I think of John Bunyan. Do you ever heard of John Bunyan? He wrote The Pilgrim's Progress. He was put in jail for 12 years at one time. And he had a blind daughter that he loved very much. And he was cut off. He was separated from that his wife and his daughter. How would you like to be cut off from your family just for a month? I don't like to be away from my family for a day. But now we are all by nature cut off, separated from God. By nature. That we have lost our access. But how did we lose it? Well, one word. Adam. In Adam, we all die. Romans 5:12. Turn there. Romans 5:12. Here is the beginning of all of your problems. Say, well, my wife didn't make me dinner when I wanted it because she's selfish. Like, you're not selfish. You're never selfish. In fact, that's what you'll tell her probably. I'm never selfish. That's not true, is it? That's a lie. You lie, your wife lies. Where did all this sin come from? Romans 5:12. Read it out loud with me. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. You see, Adam disobeyed the voice of God in the Garden of Eden, and that one act of disobedience brought sin into the human race. That day, what did Adam do? He ran away from God and he hid. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 9 tells us, the Lord God called unto Adam, and he said, where art thou? And Adam said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. I hid myself. You see, that's where we are. Without access to God, we're left to hiding ourselves. How do we hide ourselves? We hide the fact that we don't have access to God. We do this by praying superficial prayers. You ever been there? I remember when I was lost, dead in my trespasses and sins, I prayed every night. And I prayed when I was in trouble. And I prayed because I was fearful of the consequences if I didn't pray. But I didn't pray because I had because I loved the Lord my God with all my heart and all my soul and all my might. You see, my motives were completely different. A lot of people who pray have no access to God. They have not entered into relationship with Him. They are simply knocking on the outside of His door. They're not sitting at the table with Him and supping. They look at God as a cosmic genie who they will go to when they need a big miracle. Okay, God, I know I haven't been there to talk to you for a while, but I really need a big miracle. Right? Or maybe they think if they just say that they're sorry to God for their sins, God forgives them. You know the Bible doesn't say that anywhere. Just because you say you're sorry doesn't forgive you. Why did Jesus come to die? You can say you're sorry all day long, but without a sacrifice for your sins, without Jesus bearing the wrath of your sins, you have no forgiveness. And we're going to get to that in this next point, and that is our final question. How do we gain access to God? How do we gain access to God? Verse 18, look at our text. We both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Access. That word actually means introduction. The introduction to a very powerful person. I love the story of the little boy called William. And I think of my own little son in this illustration. Except this little boy could probably talk a little better than my son. My son's only 3, for those of you visiting. But the story of this boy, his name is William, and he stood wistfully at the gates of Buckingham Palace. He longed to go in and see the king. He had a problem on his hands, though, for between him and the king were heavy iron gates, rigid protocol, armed soldiers, and watchful police. What he wanted was just outside, just out of the question. There was no way in. There was no access to the king. Now, a large London police officer was telling the boy at this time that it was about time for him to go home, when suddenly this police officer sprang to attention when another man appeared on the scene. The mysterious man opened the gates and let little William in. And the police officer just stood there. Now, this mysterious man walked with William for what seemed like quite a distance. The anonymous, mysterious man showed William the famous ballroom, the stamp rooms that housed the valuable collection, the Belgian suite for the use of state visitors, the royal wardrobe, the music room, the dining room, and the dazzling green room. Finally, they arrived in the king's presence, and the mysterious man spoke to the king. He said, "Hello, Father. Here is a little boy who wants to meet you. Meet my friend William. William, this is my father, the king." That's what this word access means. It means an introduction. It means to be brought in through someone else. Now, how can we come to God? This verse says, through him. Now, notice what it doesn't say. It doesn't say through works. Now, what would you say to a criminal who had killed, lied, maimed, and murdered? And what if he were to say, "You know what, that's all in the past now. I'm not going to do that anymore," to the judge. And he says, "I'm going to do so much good, it's going to outweigh my bad. So you should let me go based on that," right? What is the, or does the judge say this, "Now I know that you've killed, maimed, murdered, and all of those things. But now let's weigh your good works. What were the good things that you did before? Let's see if your good works outweigh your bad works." Do you think that a judge in this world would do that? Why do we think that God would do such a thing? Yet many people on this earth think that when we get to heaven, God is going to weigh the good and the bad. And you say, "Well, I've never murdered or maimed or done any of those things." Have you ever told a lie? And what does that make you? It makes you a liar. Have you ever looked with lust upon a person that is not your spouse? What does that make you? Have you ever hated in your heart? The Bible says if you hate in your heart, what are you? You're a murderer. Have you ever stolen anything regardless of its value? What does that make you? A thief. You're a lying, thieving, adulterous rebel and an idolater in your heart, and you have to face a holy, righteous God on judgment day. Friends, it's not through our works. There is no good that can outweigh all of this bad. So how can we gain access to God? Look again at our verse. Through Him. Who is that referring to? Jesus Christ. Through Jesus Christ. Through Jesus Christ, we both have access. We have introduction to the Father. By one Spirit unto the Father. You see, the thing that makes this amazing, this verse, is that what would you expect if a criminal were introduced to the judge? What would you expect on that introduction? "You're going to jail, buddy." Right? Everyone's going to have an introduction to God. But this introduction is different in this verse. Every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord. Amen? But this introduction is different. Everyone will have an accounting day before God, before the tribunal of Jesus Christ. But in this introduction, sinners actually have friendship with God. If you look at this passage, which we have been looking through week after week, there is a hostility talked about in this passage, an enmity between God and man, right? So there is something that takes away this enmity, this hostility, and it is through who? Through Christ. Our sins are nailed to the cross of Christ. Verse 15 says that Christ abolished in His flesh the enmity, the hostility that God has toward us. It says in verse 16, having slain the enmity thereby in His flesh. Because there is one God, right? And there's one mediator between God and man. Who is that? The man Christ Jesus. You can come to God. You can have access to God through Jesus Christ. Christian, let me talk to you. I've just preached the gospel. Don't you love to hear the gospel? But let me talk to you, because we hear the good news, and for some strange reason, Christians seem to get over the good news. Now, if you're a true Christian, you will not get over it for very long. Amen? Because if the Spirit of God lives in you, His life will pulse through you. So let me bring you again to the gospel that ought to excite you every day of your life. You have access to God. Amen? Amen. You, and when you're at your last rung on the ladder and you're dangling from your little pinky, ready to fall into the abyss. I know none of you here have had any kind of day like that. But I have. And it is at that time that I have a mighty mediator. I have the Son of God pleading with the wounds in His hands and His feet. The Lamb of God that takes away not just the sins of the world. Whose sins does He take away? My sin, your sin, that guilt that you have. Give it to Jesus. Confess your sin, and He's faithful and just to forgive you of your sin and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. You say, I can't do it. I can't do it. I just can't live the life. You weren't meant to live the life in your own power. You are meant to live the Christian life the same way that you got saved. Did you save yourself? Did you say, I think I'll take away all my sins? You could sacrifice yourself a billion times and it wouldn't take away one of your sins. But there is one who has already sacrificed Himself. And all you had to do was look to Him in repentant faith and cast yourself on Him. That's the Christian life. It's really no different than what you did when you called on the name of the Lord to be saved. Amen? So when you're at your last rung, when you have no one else to turn to, and you're looking for access here and there and everywhere, maybe I can take a trip that'll calm my nerves, right? Maybe I can get on the internet and read an article. Maybe I can watch the television or go somewhere. We have access. But none of those things is the access we need, is it? The only access we need is the access we have to the Father through Jesus Christ by one Spirit. You know, most of our problems on this earth are with other people. You know, if there weren't so many people on the earth, we wouldn't have so many problems, right? But notice what the verse says. He brings access. We both. Who are those both referring to? Warring factions, right? Referring to enemies, former enemies. Jews hated Gentiles. Gentiles hated Jews. Do you have a problem getting along? Maybe when you were younger, your mother read on your report card, Matt cannot get along with others. Right? We haven't grown too far from that report card, have we? We still can't get along with others. How do we get along with others? What's the secret? Who we really need to get along with? We need to get along with God, and we'll have no problem being a peacemaker, loving our enemy, giving the cloak when they ask for a coat, turning the other cheek when we are offended. But you have no idea what this person did to me. Friend, you have no idea what we have done to Christ. What our sin has put Christ through. And the access that what He went through gains us access. We have nothing to complain about. No matter what has happened to you, no matter who has wronged you, you have access to God. Amen. You might not be on speaking terms with someone on this earth, but you can love them. They may not understand you, but you can do everything in your power to reach out to them. In your own strength, no, because you have access to God. So, one more thing before we close. The Spirit. We come through the Spirit. And I want you to understand the unity that we have in the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God is the life of God in your heart. And when you are united to God, you are united to Him through the Holy Spirit. What does that mean? Okay. Let me illustrate it this way. We are so united to our circumstances, right? And when something goes wrong, how do we see that we're united to our circumstances? Because when our circumstances go wrong, we cry, right? And we complain. And we murmur. And we wonder where God went, right? We're united to our circumstances. We love our circumstances. We adore our circumstances. Our circumstances are idolatry. What we need is union with the Spirit of God. Because the Spirit of God never fails. And when we're united with the Spirit, I'm not talking about salvation. You are united with the Spirit. I'm talking about walking with the Spirit of God practically. And here, this union, if you are united with the Spirit and you're conscious of it and you're aware of it, nothing in this life can go wrong. Right? Because everything's right with God. So let me ask you, where is your focus? Is your focus on the Lord? The Bible says the Spirit bears our infirmities. He can pray for us when we don't even know how to pray. Is that the kind of union you have? Is that the kind of access you have to God at all times? Access. Have you ever wanted a ticket to something that was sold out? Do you realize that if the Bears go to the Super Bowl, there will be people sleeping outside all night to gain tickets? What do they want? They want access to some game where 22 men chase a ball around for 60 minutes. It might be fun to watch, but it will not matter one iota in eternity. Amen? Much more important is our need to be banging on the doors of heaven for access. You will never gain it on your own. Do you have access to heaven? If you die without this access, you will never have it. But if you have it, you will never lose it. Eternity is far too long to be separated from God. Do you have access to God? Let us close with Hebrews 4:16. Are you connected to God? Do you have access to Him? Let's read this verse together. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Live in your access that you have to God. And if you're here today and you don't know Christ as your Savior, if the joy of the Lord is not your strength, today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. Today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your heart. God will grant you full access to heaven and all of eternity and all the pleasures in this world that you have, you're holding them together so tightly. Well, all of the pleasures that the world can offer cannot even be measured in the first second of eternity with God. In the first second of eternity, we'll have more pleasure in that 1 second than all the pleasures of this life can offer. The pleasure of sin for what? A season. Do you have access to God? Let us stand together with heads bowed and eyes closed. I would appeal to your conscience this morning. Maybe you're here and your conscience this morning is telling you that you don't have this access. You never had it. You're banging on the outside of the door of heaven, like almost all people in the world do. But you're not sitting down at the table with God. Because there's some hostility that God has. You know that you're guilty. You not only feel guilty, you are guilty. You're a liar. You're a thief. You're a murderer in your heart. The way that you've reacted to your wife has caused some men to murder, because hatred is the fruit of murder. And you've felt that way, and there's no cure for that except Jesus Christ. Will you come to Him today? Today, if you've never trusted in Christ and you say, I've heard of this before, but I want Him as my Savior, I make that decision today. I repent of my sin. I turn away from it. and I turn to God with all of my heart. That's what I want. You say, that's me today. Would you just raise your hand so that I can pray for you? Would you just raise your hand? Say, I need Jesus Christ today. I know nothing magical will happen when I raise my hand, but I'm just saying I have a need. I want Christ. Would you just raise your hand this morning? If you'd never trusted in Christ and you say, I need Christ, yes. Amen. You can put your hand up and just put it right back down. Is there someone else? You say, I need Christ. I need Jesus Christ. Is there anyone else? Listen, you don't have to put your hand up. Just come and find me or find one of the men of this church. We'll be glad to take a Bible and sit down with you so that you can know that when you die, all of your sins can be forgiven. Maybe you're here this morning and you're a Christian and you've gotten under the circumstances of your life and you just can't bear it, the load anymore. Have you ever thought about talking to the King about this situation? You ever wondered about the access you have to Him? Come boldly before the throne of grace. He's ready to help you in time of need. Won't you do that today? You say, I'm a Christian, and I'll be honest, I get discouraged, and this message has been an encouragement to me, and by God's grace, I'm not going to try to solve the problem myself. I'm going to the throne next time. Say, that's me. Would you pray for me? Would you just raise your hand? You say, I'm going to the throne. There's no way I can bear my sin. I can't bear my circumstances. I'm going to the throne. Amen. Father, we pray, Lord, that as You've seen our hearts, more than our hands, You've seen our hearts. I pray, Lord, for those who may be lost in our service today, that are without Christ, that are outside of the door of heaven. Lord, what a shame it would be to die in that circumstance, to die at the very gate of heaven. Lord, we've preached the gospel. The good news is in all of our hands. But to leave it in our hands and not put it in our heart would be worse than never hearing at all. God, give grace today for those who do not know You. Help them to see. Help them to come to You boldly and come to You in the Savior's name for forgiveness of sins. And God, I pray for every believer here today. I pray that they would understand that they don't have to solve their problems. That we are created and You saved us for Your glory, and we have help in any circumstance, in any situation. Lord, help us to pray more. Help us to know You more, to walk with You more. God, help us to be like Enoch, who walked with You. Help us to know You. We ask all these things and praise You for the access that we have to You, Father, through Jesus Christ and by one Spirit. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.